Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome in. I love callers like Diane and Cherry Hill, who differ but are very respectful and, you know, thoughtful. That's what we aim to do. Jake Tapper is one of the lead figures, of course, at CNN. The lead every day, 4 until 5, and then the big Sunday morning show, State of the Union. And he had last night Lindsey Graham and Bernie Sanders. Those were the principals debating the Graham-Cassidy health care bill. Kind of felt that some of the juice was out, though, after some of the participants on the Republican side said they're not voting for it. Jake Tapper with us. Did you feel that last night, Jake, or did you think it was a good debate?
I thought it was a good debate. It was Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy, authors of the Graham-Cassidy bill, plus Bernie Sanders and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Obviously, Susan Collins announcing a few hours before the debate that she would be a no on the bill, thus there were three official no's, McCain, Rand Paul, and Susan Collins, and Republicans can't afford to lose more than two. I wouldn't say let the air out of the balloon, but obviously it made the focus a little bit less, the Graham-Cassidy legislation, and a little bit more just about Republican versus Democratic, capital D, principles when it comes to health care. But I thought it was a great debate, good substantive disagreement, not just between the Democrats and the Republicans or the independent and Democrat versus Republicans, but also between Klobuchar and Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders taking every opportunity to talk about his Medicare for All single-payer legislation, which Amy Klobuchar has not co-sponsored. And also, I just thought it was, you know, it's not often that you have an opportunity to have four legislators debating an and one issue of interest to the public without yelling, screaming, and, you know, in such a substantive way. We had a lot of voters, you know, Americans talking about their health care woes, whether it's the person who thought Obamacare was premised on a lie and her premiums have gone up, or the person whose daughter has a pre-existing condition challenging Graham-Cassidy on whether or not their bill would allow states to permit insurance companies to charge people with pre-existing conditions higher premiums. So, yeah, we were very happy about it.
Well, I think Lindsey Graham is very good in debates. He's substantive. He's willing to say stuff. He's not willing just to retreat. I'm not going to talk. I don't know how you deal with that, with these guys who will not say anything. It's like, why are you here if you don't want to give us your position, even though if carefully stated? Graham says stuff, and sometimes stuff that's pretty provocative, but he's civil, which is a good combination. That's what I like when I saw it. Now, Jake, just a little bit of praise. I saw a breakdown of, you know, big-time network TV and the Menendez case, and they say that you're responsible on your network for two-thirds of the coverage. This was a while ago. We haven't talked about it since then. And I commend that because I know that sometimes it's not, or many times it might not be partisan as much as, you know, do we really want to cover Menendez when no one else in much of the country is not paying attention, even though you and I know this is a huge case that could even have bigger implications if he's convicted?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, I understand when conservatives say that there's media bias, and I there are times that I see it. The most glaringly I see it whenever a Republican is in trouble, the headline or the first paragraph mentions he's a Republican, and when a Democrat's in trouble, often the word Democrat doesn't appear until the fourth or fifth paragraph, if even. But I think the Menendez case is fascinating and interesting, and I think it's important for the same reasons you outlined. I will say, in the defense of people who haven't covered the Menendez trial, there has been a lot going on the last 3 weeks with three major hurricanes hitting the United States. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, you know, I've been thinking about this because there are a lot of people giving me credit for covering the Menendez trial. But the truth is there have been a couple major trials of major politicians in the last decade or so that also didn't really get that much attention. The governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, he was a presidential prospect at one point, and he was tried, convicted, and then ultimately his punishment was thrown out by the U.S. Supreme Court. That did not get a lot of attention. And then Senator Ted Stevens, also there was a trial against him, I think also eventually thrown out of court. So it's hard to argue that if you look at other similar trials, they have gotten a huge amount of attention. The truth of the matter is that outside of the tri-state area, very few people know who Bob Menendez is. But that said, as you say, I'm going to keep covering it because it's important and he's an important figure. And, you know, even Republicans gaining one vote in the Senate could have a huge consequence.
Well, right. That's why I think it is so consequential. In addition, it's interesting. We cover it because the issue of what is bribery, when is it bribery? I mean, I read it. I think it is, but I'm an opinion maker. You're a news guy. I get it. I do think, though, that's a fascinating thing with public figures that we go back and forth on. So it's good to talk about that. So what leads the lead today?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that there are still 3.5 million Americans in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands who don't have power, many of them wanting for water and medical supplies, is a major story. I think we'll focus on that today. The president's Homeland Security advisor is in Puerto Rico right now. He returns. We'll talk to the president. Brock Long, the FEMA director, was in Puerto Rico yesterday. He will be our guest on the show. Help us sort through what does Puerto Rico need? What is it not getting? What is the truth and what is the reality of the conditions on the ground there? So we'll be talking about that. Also, there's a lot going on in politics with the NFL, with the healthcare legislation. Huge Senate race in Alabama today, where we're going to see which is more important to the voters of Alabama, Trump or Trumpism. This is not my construct. This is Mary Catherine Hamm, one of our conservative commentators, but she points out that Roy Moore is the more Trumpistic nominee or candidate, rather, whereas Luther Strange is obviously the one that President Trump has endorsed. So that's a fascinating race unto itself. And then, look, it's early. It's only 11 o'clock. We've still got lots going on in the Trump era. You know, I don't even do I tend not to do pre-tapes anymore, or at least not unless it's like just within a couple hours of the show, because it's just so tough. Like in doing the Sunday show, sometimes you can get a big guest, but they'll only do the interview on Friday or Saturday because they don't want to get up early on Sunday. And I really don't do that anymore because so much changes in the Trump era.
Yeah, it would look ridiculous to put that on. I mean, we're you know, second by second here, particularly given the in a million years, I wouldn't have predicted what Jerry Jones did last night. And listeners know what a big Eagles fan you are. And part of that, the 10th commandment is how we feel toward Dallas. But some people in town were okay with Jerry Jones when he said no one's going to kneel during the national anthem. Then he comes out, kneels, and then doesn't kneel. Where does this go? I mean, it is bizarre, the back and forth with this stuff.
You know, I met Jerry Jones's daughter once, and she's a lovely person. She's really nice. It's so, you know, when you're from Philly, you're raised to hate the Cowboys more so than the Steelers by far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I
mean, the Cowboys are the enemy. You hate them. I think the whole debate and divide over protests during the national anthem is an important story. And the one principle that has guided me throughout this story when it began last year is let's respectfully listen to everybody and hear each other on this story. And so we had a Gold Star mother on who talked about what she sees when she sees the flag and how it hurts her. This is at the time when Colin Kaepernick was the only one kneeling. And we've had on other individuals, including Michael Bennett of the Seahawks. We had Doug Baldwin of the Seahawks on yesterday. And look, I mean, where I am on this is I have my own personal feelings about the anthem and about the protest, but I find that it's kind of irrelevant as a newsman. I just want important voices to be heard. And I think everybody, the more people just respect each other and try to understand where everybody's coming from, that's where we as a nation should go. And then honestly, as an Eagles fan, I can't stop watching that 61-yard field goal. I mean,
it is beyond stunning. To that point, though, I'm glad we're in sync because I trust your news judgment. I think this is an extremely important story, and people that dismiss it and say you or somebody else ought to be talking about North Korea around the clock, there's room for all this stuff. This stuff intersects the passion that Eagles fans have toward NFL, well, Eagles football, and then Jerry Jones involved and all. These are big consequential issues out of the toy store of life that are important.
I think what it comes down to, and this is, you know, as for me, as somebody who was raised a certain way growing up on Carpenter Street in Philly, you know, in the 70s, that when I, what the anthem meant to me then is not necessarily what the anthem means to everybody when they hear it or they see it. It's just not. So I just try to listen. So when Michael Bennett, who is taking a knee this season with the Seahawks, comes on the show and talks about why he is doing that, I'm just trying to listen. I'm trying to challenge what he's saying, but I'm also trying to listen. When I read about the chief of staff of the White House, John Kelly, retired Marine general, saying that he finds it appalling that players aren't standing or being disrespectful in his view during the anthem, and how people can take 3 minutes and just stand up and consider the sacrifices being made by soldiers and other service members, one has to think about the fact that his son,
exactly,
First Lieutenant Robert Kelly, was killed in Afghanistan. And that's where he's coming from. And I think that there are a lot of people who don't even consider, oh, okay, you mean for military families, the anthem is about honoring their son or daughter. That's what, or husband or wife or whatever. That's what they think of. Oh, I didn't even think about that. And conversely, for a lot of African Americans and people for whom racial injustice is a top priority and they think about it all the time, for them, they see the flag and they think about all the ways that America needs to strive even further to meet the ideals that the Republic was founded under. Oh, I hadn't thought about that either. Let me think about that too. Both of those, to be completely candid, neither of them are things that I thought about as a kid growing up in Queen Village when I would go. I didn't go to Eagles games as a kid, but when I would go to a Phillies
game,
because it was too cold for me. But my mom protected me. What can I say?
Oh, that shows a lot. That's resulting in great news work, Jake. So 4 until 5 today, the lead. And again, no pre-taped interviews, right up to the last second to see what's fresh.
Well, every now and then we have a pre-tape, but it's just risky is all I'm saying. It's risky to do. I don't think we have any pre-taped interviews today. We had Chris Christie on one time, and like literally within the 2 hours between the interview and when we were airing it, Scaramucci resigned. So, I mean, it's just like you just can't do it.
Absolutely. Hey, Jake, we'll be watching today. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Dom. Talk to you soon.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.